We are kind of in the middle of a series. Well, we finished a series here on Sunday night on Daniel, and I haven't yet started a new, I guess you call them requests or suggestions, but haven't settled on exactly what I'm going to do yet. But so in the meantime here, what I'd like to do tonight is just look at this psalm, Psalm 119, and really this psalm helps us prepare for our VBS theme. You know, our VBS theme is the Bible, and it's the Bible, you know, it should be the Bible all the time, right? But the theme this year is about the Bible and what the Bible is, and you know, the fact that it's inspired and from God. And maybe some of you heard the acrostic that we're using with the word Bible. The five letters in the word Bible help us with the theme for each of the 5 days. And so the Bible is the book of books. It has had an incredible impact. It is, what's the other B? Anybody know? Bedrock base. Okay, and then the L is the letter of love, and E is exciting to explore. And so through those themes, kids are going to learn about the Bible. And so here we come to Psalm 119, and wouldn't you know that it's also an acrostic? And, you know, some of the psalms are acrostics. And what the psalmist did here was he started with the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and he wrote that first stanza, and each of those verses there in that first stanza begin with the letter A, or letter Aleph, and so on and so forth. And as you know, this psalm is all about the Word of God, and I think it'll probably come up in the VBS themes this week. I think the theme verse is one of the verses here. I forget which one it is, but it's Open Thou Mine Eyes, which is one of the verses here. Verse 18, okay. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. So that's the theme verse, comes from this psalm. And, you know, in each of the verses here, we have a description of God's word. God's word is mentioned in each one of the verses, and it is sometimes a prayer. Sometimes the psalmist is praising the Lord for some of the benefits of God's word, or you know, something that he's determined to do with God's word. But just the whole psalm is all about God's word. It has 176 verses. I'm not going to cover all of those tonight, but just sampling here. And but we have God's word here, and the author of this psalm evidently had some contact with God's word. He had some access to it, apparently, and the portion that he was thinking of. But did you know that there was a time, even for people that speak the English language, where they did not have a personal copy of God's Word? And, you know, the Bible printed for us in the English language is really something that is precious to us, and is something that maybe you didn't know that there were other languages in the world that had a printed copy of the Bible, even before the English did. You know, lots of times we take our printers for granted, our copiers. It's so easy for us just to go in and make a copy or print something off. But, you know, that was something that was very hard to do. I mean, you couldn't do it. There was no printing press before a certain time, the 1200s there. But finally, you know, the printing press came along and people began to print God's Word. And so, you know, the Latin Bible was printed even in 1456. There was a Spanish Bible printed in 1478, a German Bible. Luther's Bible was printed in 1522. Even an Arabic printed copy of the Scriptures came out in 1516. And those were all before the printed copy of the English Bible. It all came before that. So there were English speakers who did not have easy access to God's Word in their language. And so as we think about this psalm tonight, what I'd like to do is just tell you a little bit about a man who God used to prepare the way for the printing of the English Bible, one of the men that God used. And our VBS curriculum tells a little bit about him, so I'm kind of using that a little bit tonight. But that is a man by the name of William Tyndale. And William Tyndale was born in 1494 in England. He went to school at Oxford and Cambridge. We don't know a whole lot about his growing up life. But Tyndale became a teacher, a private tutor in a home teaching children. But his burden was to translate the scriptures into English and that people could have direct access to it. And Tyndale lived in the time of the Reformation. It was going on in Europe. Hadn't yet reached England yet, but he had learned of this teaching from God's Word and came to understand and believe in that. And he was burdened that other people would come to see that as well. But William Tyndale was a man who recognized God's Word here as it's taught in this psalm. And I mentioned that every verse in this psalm, almost every verse, directly refers to the Word of God. And there are, I think, about 10 different words that are used for God's Word. And I want to point out four of those words here tonight because they show us what we have in God's Word. And the first word that I want to point out here, we find in verse 34. If you look at verse 34, it says, "Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart." And the word for God's word that we see there in verse 34 is law. Law. It's the Hebrew word Torah. And it's a word that is used 25 times in this psalm alone. And it can refer to the first five books of the Old Testament, but also that word refers to all of God's word. We see that word being used even in the New Testament to refer to all of God's word. But what does it teach us about God's Word? It teaches us that God's Word is not just something that we have that is interesting to us or that can give us some good stories, entertainment. This word for God's Word reminds us that God's Word is our authority. God's Word is our authority. And we see the psalmist's determination to follow the law. Look down at verse 51. It says, "The proud had given me, the proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law." And then down in verse 61, "The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law." That word law is used for God's word, and the psalmist is recognizing his commitment to obey the law. Even when people are threatening to persecute him and do him wrong, he says, you know what, I'm committed to obeying God's word. It's my authority. You know, William Tyndale lived in a time in church history when God's word was not the authority. Man was the authority. The visible church was the authority. In fact, 100 years before William Tyndale lived, there was a man by the name of John Wycliffe. And John Wycliffe had the burden to have the Bible in the English language as well. And he went about to translate it actually from the Latin into English. And of course, there was no printing press for him. He just did that by hand. But you know what they did to Wycliffe? They burned everything that he wrote. And eventually they dug up his bones and burned him. You know, they didn't want that to happen at all. In fact, in Oxford, the city of Oxford, in the 1400s, it was illegal, officially on the books, to read the scriptures unless you had a bishop's license. No one could just go in and read the scriptures. In another town in England, in 1519, a woman and six men were burned to death for teaching their children the Lord's Prayer, the Ten Commandments, and the Apostles' Creed. Yeah, it was illegal to even read God's Word, for a layman to read God's Word, for a child to learn God's Word. God's Word was not the highest authority The man was the highest authority, and Satan obviously was blinding people through that. And so William Tyndale secretly began the work of translation, but in 1524 he had to leave his home country of England because what he was doing was illegal. And so he had to escape to Germany. He knew what was going on there with Martin Luther, and he came and talked with Martin Luther and stayed there and continued to work on his translation. And all because at that time, God's word did not have this place in society. God's word was not the authority. Other people were putting themselves over God's word. But this psalm reminds us that God's word is our authority, the law, the Torah. And then we have another word for God's word. And I want to show you that here in verse 9, another word that the psalmist uses 24 times. It says in Psalm 119:9, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word." And here we have another word for God's word. And in fact, it is word. And that's a word that's used for God's word. The Hebrew word, dabar. And it's a word that means God's revelation, God's communication to mankind. That's what words are. They are messages. You know, we get messages all the time, right? If you have a phone, you get text messages all the time. And that's what God's word is. It's a message. It's a communication to us. It's like the children are going to learn this week about the letter L in the word Bible. It's a letter of love. That's what God's word is. It's communication to us. And verse 9 tells us it's directed to young people. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" A young man. "By taking heed thereto according to thy word." And then we have these verses down in verse 105. Look at verse 105. It also uses this word. It says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." That's what God's message is. Gives us understanding and light. And then down in verse 130, it says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. God's word is his message for us. And that's something that William Tyndale recognized. Once somebody was criticizing William Tyndale for his work trying to translate the Bible into English and print it. And William Tyndale said this, very famous statement that he made. He said, "If God spare my life, ere many years, I will cause the boy that driveth the plow in England to know more of the scriptures than thou dost." That was his goal. He wanted the boy, the plow boy, to know more of the scriptures even than the critic that he was talking about. You know, that was his goal. That's what he wanted. You know, that's what we want today as well. We want people to understand the scriptures because the entrance of thy words giveth light. And, you know, I wonder how many boys around us are able to read the scriptures. You know, I hope it would be more than in William Tyndale's day. Unfortunately, Satan has other tactics that he uses. And now we have the scriptures so freely and available to us. But how many boys are there? How many girls are there who actually read the Bible? How many boys and girls are distracted by so many other things when they have God's word that they can read? And that was what William Tyndale ultimately gave his life for, so that boys and girls would be able to read the Bible. And so there he was in Germany, and he was translating. He finished his translation of the New Testament, and right away he had 3,000 copies printed up in a city nearby. Well, unfortunately, the Roman Catholics found out, they heard about what he was doing. And before he was even able to collect the sheets and put them into book form, He had to take those printed sheets, put them on a boat, sail up the river to another town where he could safely compile them together into a book form. And he was able to do that and ended up smuggling these 3,000 copies of the New Testament into England. That's what he wanted, the English Bible into his home country. And he put them into boxes of merchandise and shipped them across the English Channel. And people bought them. Unfortunately, his opponents bought them. But they did buy them and gave him the money for it. So he took the money and he printed up more. And somebody at the printer that he was using was joking about the fact that all of England is going to become Lutheran because they had the English Bible. And that's what had happened in Germany. People began reading the Bible, people like Luther. It wasn't just that they were becoming Lutheran, but they were understanding the doctrines of justification by faith. And the entrance of God's word giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. And so God's word is our authority. God's word is his message for us. And then a third word for God's word I want you to see here tonight is down in verse 15 is one of the occurrences of it here. Verse 15 it says, I will meditate in thy precepts. And that's the word, precepts. The word precept is a word that appears 21 times here in this psalm, but it's a word that refers to a detailed instruction, a very detailed instruction. And if you can imagine a supervisor that you might have, knowing what you're capable of and what you can do, giving you a very detailed instruction that is just for you, that you need to carry out, that's the idea of a precept. A detailed instruction that's given. That's what God's Word does for us. It gives that detailed instructions that we need here. And we see in verse 15, Psalmist says, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. You know, we need to pay attention, very careful attention to the precepts of God's Word, the instructions that we have from God. And we see over in verse 100, lots of verses in this psalm, but there it's used again, the same word precept. Psalmist says, I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. It's possible even for a young person to understand more than an old person, even, if they understand God's instructions for them. Gives us wisdom. So William Tyndale was ultimately captured. He had a friend that betrayed him. And the friend led him out into a place where he wanted him to be. And actually, Tyndale lent him some money. And the friend turned him over to Roman Catholics. Roman Catholics seized him. And they threw him in prison. But we know that even before that, he was staying with a family in Europe there. And we know of Tyndale's personal lifestyle at this particular time. He was a man that was not just a scholar all the time, in the books all the time a day. He was a man that was concerned about his fellow Englishmen. And there were other exiles from England that were in Europe nearby where he was. And he was always going out, seeing how they were doing, trying to help them in any way he could. And then even when he was in prison, we know that he led his guard to the Lord. He was witnessing to him, and even some people in his guard's family were led to the Lord by William Tyndale. Here was a man who understood the precepts of God's Word. He was not just interested in it academically, translating, but he was also interested in following the precepts of God's Word, loving and living the Bible. God's Word guides our life, and we need to pay attention to it. And then we have a final word here for God's Word, and we see that in verse 152. If you look at verse 152, this is the final word that I'm going to talk about tonight. There are a couple more words for God's Word that are used here, but In verse 152, it says, concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. And the word is testimonies. God's word is a testimony. It appears 23 times here in this chapter. And, you know, the idea of a testimony, God used that in other ways. If you remember the Ark of the Covenant that God had his people create there for the tabernacle. And, you know, another name for that that Ark of the Covenant was testimony. It was to be a testimony for Israel. It was to be a continual reminder for them that God was with them. And you remember the things that were inside that ark, the manna and the Ten Commandments and Aaron's rod, I believe, was there. And that all of that was a testimony. It was called that. It was to be a reminder, continually speaking to the children of Israel that God was with them. And this is a word that's used of God's word. It's a testimony. Somebody has said that it describes the outspokenness of Scripture, a witness that God's word continually speaks. We see in verse 152 that God's word is a permanent testimony. Concerning thy testimonies, I have known that thou hast founded them forever. They continually speak through the ages. And then we see back up in verse 46, we see our responsibility even to speak God's testimonies. It says, I will speak of thy testimonies, verse 46, also before kings, and will not be ashamed. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. You know, when Tyndale was nearing the end of his life, things were changing in England. Maybe some of you have heard about King Henry VIII and his marital issues that he had. He didn't like one of his wives because he wasn't getting a son. And so he wanted to marry another woman by the name of Anne Boleyn. Well, the Roman Catholic Church would not let him get a divorce. And so he said, forget the Roman Catholic Church. I'm starting my own church. And so that was going on there at this time. And, you know, the Church of England was coming into existence there through Henry VIII's decisions. But translation, English translation, was not yet permitted in England. But Tyndale, there in Europe, he was living in a town called Antwerp. And in 1534, he published a revised edition of his New Testament. And also, it contained a portion of the Pentateuch, which he was working to translate from the Hebrew. And he had that new edition there in 1534, and he presented a copy of it to the Queen, to Queen Anne. That was Henry's wife that he wanted to get a divorce so he could marry. And so he presented a copy of that to Anne. But then, just 2 years later, he was ultimately tried and found convicted of heresy by the Roman Catholic Church. And then they turned him over to the government, secular government, to execute him. And on October 6, 1536, William Tyndale was burned at the stake. Perhaps you've heard of his dying words. Here were the words that he spoke as he was burned. He said, Lord, open the King of England's eyes. Little did he know that just a little bit later, there would be another Bible printed by a man by the name of Coverdale. The Coverdale Bible was the first complete Bible in English and to be authorized by the king just a year later. But Tyndale's work was the foundation of that. And it was used by other men as they came along and produced a complete English Bible. But I see there a fulfillment of what the psalmist writes in Psalm 119:46, I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. You know, that was William Tyndale. He wanted to speak God's testimonies before the plowboy, but also he said, Lord, open the King of England's eyes. Help them to see this is what we need in our country. And so, you know, we have such a treasure here in the Bible, in our language. And the verse that I chose to go along with the title of the message here tonight was verse 127. It says, "Therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold." Is that the attitude that we have towards the Bible? Do we love God's commandments, His law, even above money? That ultimately, it should be the attitude that we have towards God's Word. It's a treasure that we have in our language. And so this is a wonderful psalm to meditate on. And even the words that he uses for God's Word teach us about what God's Word is. It's our authority, first of all. And it's not just something to have a nice story. Ultimately, people need to understand God's Word is the authority. I'm not the authority. It's what God says. And God is speaking to us. God has a message for us. God's Word guides our lives with the precepts of God's Word. And then we see it's a testimony. It's a continual reminder through the ages. You know, we're going to pass off the scene here shortly. And if the Lord does not return, God's Word will still be a testimony to the people that remain. It will still speak. And we thank the Lord for the people that He has used to allow us to have His Word even in our own English language. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we do thank You for God's Word. And Lord, we pray, even for this week, we pray, Lord, that You would help even the boys and girls in our community, that they would be able to read the Bible and understand and see the way of salvation that it gives us. And we thank You for the people that have done so much work and sacrifice so that we can read the Bible. And Lord, we have a great treasure here, and we know that the devil is doing everything he can to distract people from God's Word. And we know that many boys and girls are distracted from the truths of the Bible, and many adults, many men and women. Lord, we pray that You'd help them to give their attention to this. And we pray for this week. We pray, Lord, for the needs of our assembly here. We know that we've mentioned a number of needs here tonight, and we lift those up to You. We think of Jim and his need there at the hospital. We pray that You be gracious to him. And Lord, we think of this woman, Tacy, who accepted the Lord. We pray that You would help her to grow in You. Lord, we pray for that for all of us as well. Help us to grow continually as we are under Your Word. And Lord, we pray that You would guide us as we go from here now. And we pray that You would protect us, prepare us for the week. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right.